is daf Sadi Zayin. So again, I said it's a long daf and it's a bit challenging. So we got to the last five lines of Sadi Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara says that Tani Rabbanan, the Mekoshesh, we talked about the Mekoshesh ate some yesterday, we had three-way machlokas, what he had done wrong. So the Gemara now elaborates on who exactly was Mekoshesh Eitzim. So the Gemara says, Mekoshesh Zet Tzlafchad, that was Zet Tzlafchad, and V'chein Hu Omer, that's what it says in the Pasuk as well, V'yihu B'nei Yisrael Ba'midbar, V'yim Tzu Ish, in the Midbar they found a man. It says further, U'lahalan Hu Omer, Avinu Meis Ba'midbar. So we see Ba'midbar, it says both places, through the Gezer Shav, Ma'la Halan Tzlafchad, Af Kan Tzlafchad, Diri Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva reveals to us who the Mekoshesh was. So in response, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Akiva, Ben kach, whether you're right or wrong, ata asad litin asadin, you're going to have to pay, get punished for what you just did, because im kedvarach, if you're correct, that Mekoshesh Eitzim, in fact, was Slavchad, hator kisiso, the Torah tried to conceal who Mekoshesh was, v'ata megalos, and you are exposing him, you're letting everyone know, so you're telling, in essence, Lashon Hara. Vimlam, and if not, and if you are incorrect in your Gzeir Shava, so ata motzi laz al oso tzadik. Now you're being motzi laz on Tzlafchad, who was not in violation of this. So therefore, that was his response to Akiva, or Rabbi Akiva. So the Elaha Gmar Gzeir Shava, but wasn't there Gzeir Shava? Didn't he clearly say by Midbar, two places? Didn't that clearly indicate that the Mekoshesh was Tzlafchad? So the Gemara says, "V'ela." This is a very interesting Rashi, by the way, just for those for how to understand Gzeir Shavas and Yud Gimel Midas Shator Nejeshes Ben. Rashi says in the very top of Tzadi Zayin, "Elahog Gamar Gzeir Shava Vim Kain Lo Kisiso HaTorah Dehavle Kimeforish." Why it's important is a Gzeir Shava is viewed halachically as if it's explicitly written in the Torah. So if it's a Gzeir Shava and Rabbi Kiva points out the Gzeir Shava, that's Kimeforish Dami. That's explicit, and therefore Rabbi Kiva isn't revealing anything that's actually concealed. So if it's a Gzeir Shava, how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira reject it? So this little sugi is very, very important for the halachas of Gzeir Shava, how to understand it. So the Gemara says, Gzeir Shava lo gamar. He never had such a tradition, right? We know a Gzeir Shava has to be from a Rebbe. And since Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira did not have this Gzeir Shava, he did not have to embrace it. And ein adam dan Gzeir Shava mi'atzma. A person cannot create his own Gzeir Shava. And for that reason, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira did not embrace this Gzeir Shava. The Tosis points out here, very small Tosis on the page here, Gzeir Shava lo gamar. Vim tomar v'ligmar mebi Rabbi Akiva. So why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira learn from Rabbi Akiva this tradition? Rabbi Akiva had the tradition, so shouldn't he have it? Shehum kabbalah mirabo. Rabbi Akiva must have had this tradition from his Rabbi and from his Rabbi. So why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira also accept this Gzeir Shava? It was part of a tradition Rabbi Akiva had. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam shehaya lehem b'kabbalah. The Kabbalah was minyan Gzeir Shava shebechal Torah. They were given, let's say 90 Gzeir Shavas to use, and that was your quota. V'zu ha'yisa yisera al-cheshman. And the way that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira had this calculation, this would be number 91. Now the number is 90, just an example. But it would be above the quota, al-cheshman. L'figach lo-kibla. Therefore he wasn't willing to accept it because he didn't know which one to replace it with. He had his 90 and couldn't take on another one. So that is an interesting machlokas about whether this Gzeir Shavah was accepted in general. So the Gemara then says, Elamehecha Hava. So where did he die from? Because the Pasuk does say Tzlafchad died because of a chet. The Gemara clearly, the Pasuk says that b'kibechetome. So what was the chet? So if it wasn't the Mekoshesh, wasn't the Avera of Tzlafchad, what was the Avera of Tzlafchad? So it must have been a lesser issue that wasn't as embarrassing, as much of a chil Hashem. So what was it then? So Elamehecha Hava. Miafilu Haya. It was from the case of Viafilu, the situation where they Klai Yisrael had complained after Meraglim. Hashem said, "You're going to be here for 40 years." He says, "No, we're going to go through." So after you punish your kid, and he says, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll go clean up my room." It's already too late. He'd already been punished. So he said, "We're going anyways. We're going to go do it." So they run to Eretz Yisrael, and they get killed. They get killed by because it was too early at that point. So that's where Tzlafchad died within that. So the Gemara then says, in a similar way, Kayotzi B'davar, Ata Omer, we have by Aaron as well, a similar thing about revealing an Avera that was concealed by the Torah. It says, Vayichar Af Hashem Bom Vayelech, that Hashem got angry at them. Now this is talking about getting upset at Miriam, that Miriam was, she became a Mitzaras, but it says Bom, why the plural, who the Bom? So the Gemara says, She'af Aaron Nitztareya, Divi Rabbi Akiva. Not only did Miriam get tzaras, but Aaron also did, because Aaron was involved in the the Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And Marsha says, so then if that's the case, they're both involved, so how come the focus was on Miriam? It's because Miriam started it. Shiva Tidabe Miriam. She spoke first, and she was a Pesach, whatever, so she was attributed with more so than Aaron was. So Rabbi Akiva now just revealed to us that Aaron also got tiras, even though the Torah didn't tell us that. So Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira again, he says, Akiva, ben kach, ata asit li tenes adin. You're deserving of punishment, because im kidavrecha, if you're correct, hatara kisisa, the Torah concealed Aaron's punishment, v'ata megala also, and you are exposing Aaron's sin and punishment. Vimlav, and if you're not correct, that Aaron did not get tiras, Atemotilaz al Osotavik. You are now bringing Lashon Hara about Aaron HaKohen. Ve'ela, Haksiv Bam. But doesn't the Pasuk say Bam? Doesn't that imply that both of them got Taras? So Gemara says, Ahu b'Nezifa Ba'alma. That was Nezifa Ba'alma. Nezifa Ba'alma is just simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at Aaron, but he never got Taras. So Ba'alma is Vayichar Af Ba'alma. He's upset at them, Af Hashem Ba'alma. Both of them are upset. But in terms of Taras, only Miriam got Taras, but not Aaron. Tatanya, the Brisa says, "Kimanda mer af Aaron itzare." The Brisa says that Aaron actually did get tiras, which is just fascinating because when you look at the pesukim, that's not clear anyways. But this is fascinating. Aaron, what turns out is Moshe in his life got tiras, Aaron got tiras, and Miriam got tiras. All three, the great leaders in Midbar, all of them got tiras. So the Brisa says, Tanya commanded Damar af Aaron Nitzareya. It says, Vaifan Aaron el Miriam, that he turned towards Miriam, Vine Mitzaras, and she was Mitzaras. Where'd he turn from? The Brisa comments, Tana Shepana Mitzaras, so he turned from his own personal Tzaras that he was stricken with or struck with. So therefore, Aaron had, Miriam had, and even Moshe Benu had, not from this case, but Moshe Benu had from the time of Mitzrayim. Happens to be, I saw just last night a kliyakar from my daughter's learning a kliyakar for school, and there's a connecting the dots of all the cases of Moshe getting tiras and Miriam getting tiras. Mamash is today's daf. So I said, well, this is fascinating. What's the connection that tiras and Moshe got in the midbar when he took his hand out, and Aaron, and the price, and Rashi also says that Korach Vadasa also got tiras. So Kliyakar has a whole mahal. He says, whenever you argue your cholik and the nevu of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when he gets tiras. So we know everything's midah kenegah midah. Choshev b'ksherim, we'll see also later on. Choshev b'ksherim, this is called Choshev b'ksherim. Why did Moshe get tiras? He was choshed that Klal Yisrael wouldn't listen to his nevuah. But it was true that Hashem said they will listen. We're about to see this in a second. They will listen. So therefore, the midah kenegah midah is that you were going to get what you thought they should get, tiras. Anybody who argues on the nevuah, Moshe gets tiras. So you get tiras, Moshe Rabbeinu. And now Aaron and Miriam got tiras because they didn't agree to Moshe's great nevuah. And Korach Vadaso also got tiras because they too didn't agree that Moshe Rabbeinu was getting the real nevuah. So tiras somehow is at the root of those who reject the great nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vait. Amar Reish Lakish says, HaChoshe B'Kshem, which I just said, HaChoshe B'Kshem, those who are Choshe B'Kshem, those who are Kosher, Loke B'Gufo, they're going to get stricken with somewhere in the body with tiras. Moshe says, they're not going to trust me. You think they're going to believe me that I spoke to God, Moshe says? The Galya Kamei Kutshubirchu is clear to Hashem, however, the Mehemne Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, will listen to Moshe Benu. So Amaloa, as a result, Hashem says to Moshe, Hein Maminim B'nei Maminim. They are people believer. They are believers. The children are believers. Ve'ata Ein Sof Chalamin. And you are going to end up not believing in them. We'll see later on. So how do we see that Hein Maminim, that they themselves, Klal Yisrael, are believers? Dechsev Vayamein Ha'am, that they trusted. And B'nai Ma'aminim, they're the children of the believers, V'hemin Ba, and they're the children of those who believed in Hashem. Ata, you Moshe Rabbeinu, however, Ein Sof Chalaham, and you're not going to believe in the end of the day. Shenemar, Yan Lamantimbi, you didn't trust in me, Hashem says. When it came to speaking to the rock and hitting the rock, the Pasuk says that Yan Lamantimbi. So Kodesh Baruch Hu turns everything around. Mimai Delaka, so how do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu also got hit in B'tzaras? We just pointed out, bring your hand out of your chest, and it turned into tzras, and that was again the conversation the Moshe had with Hashem at the Sna. Okay, the Gemara now says further, Amar Rava, V'i Teima Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Mida tova mimaharis lava mimidas piranias. That which is good, a reward, comes much quicker than a punishment. We have all the time, the Mida tova is always greater than a Mida ra. So the ilam midas paranos when it came to the punishment k'siv vayotziu hvine yoda yado mitzaras kashelag, when he took out his hand from his chest, it turned into tiras. V'il b'mida tova, when it returned back, when the positive k'siv vayotzia b'cheko v'hine shava kibsaro, we took it out, it turned immediately. So what does that mean? Mechekahu d'shava kibsaro, when not he didn't have to extend vayotzia, if I really take his hand out entirely, that's when tiras came. But when it says vayotzi mechekahu, When he took it out of his chest a little bit, it returned back to normal. It wasn't a full extension. So a full extension required the midah peronios to come, the midah ra, the full extension for the punishment to come. But simply leaving it from his chest, even though it wasn't fully extended, already at that point is when the schar came. So we see midah tova is memaheris lavo mi midah peronios. And then, one more thing on this topic, related to the whole story of Moshe Benu, Vayivla Mata Aaron El Matausam, that the staff of Moshe Benu had swallowed up the stick of the Mitzrim. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Nes Besoch Nes. There was a double Nes that took place here. What was a double Nes? So the Gemara, Rashi says, four lines down, Nes Besoch Nes, La'acha Shechazar V'nasim Mata Balam. It wasn't that when there were snakes that one snake ate up and swallowed the other snake. No, they first turned to snakes. That was one nase. The other one was, after it turned back to a stick, then the stick, which doesn't swallow, the stick, the mate, is what swallowed up the mate of the mitzvim. The lo kishu tanin, not when it was a tanin. The lo kishu vayivla tanin aron, it says vayivla mate aron. It was the stick that swallowed up. So that was a double nase that took place. That was only here simply because it's the storyline of Moshe Benu and that whole conversation. Okay, the Gemara now says we're going to be very knee-deep in the halachas of Hotzah now. So it's going to be a little tricky. I'll try to take it slow to understand this. No, it's not. It's very involved. We don't have that much time, so let's see what we could do here. So Gemara says, Mirishus HaYachid, Lirishus HaYachid, V'chulu. So this is referring to the Mishnah, yesterday's Mishnah. A person throws from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, passing over a Rishus HaRabim in the middle. Rabbi Kiva says, you're chayv, and Chacham say, you're pater. So the Gemara raises the following suffix. Boi Rabba, lemata me'asara pligi. Are they arguing about this going to be two tzadim here? Are they arguing about when it's below 10 tefachim in Rishus HaRabim? Ubaha pligi, and the Nekudas Machlokas is, demar savar aminan kluta kimasha huncha, that which is in the airspace of something. It's considered as if it's on the ground, even though it's not, but halachically it's viewed as kuhuncha dami. Or Mar Savar, La Minan Kluta Kemush Huncha. We don't assume just because it's in the airspace, it is rested. So the Machlokas is, when you throw something below 10 Tfachim, which is the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, and we view that as resting, so it went from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, all during the Zrika, we view it as stopping off twice, stopping off once rather, Yachid to Rabim, and then Rabim to Yachid, even though it never rested, or we do not say that. That's the Safik. That's all below Asar Tfachim. Ava, but but if it's above 10 tefachim when it's thrown, divriya kol pater, it's exempt. Why is it exempt? The lo yalfinan zorik mi Moshe. We don't learn, we don't derive throwing from Moshe. Meaning, even though Moshe above 10 tefachim over yachid, over a rabim to another Rosh Yachid is chayiv, that's a hoshata, that's what they did in the Mishkan, Rashi explains. You just look at Rashi, the four lines down from the top, the last Rashi in the end, velo yalfinan zorik mi Moshe. Shahaya Bavodas Halavim, the Levim would be Lamal Measara. They'd pass things, Mirishus HaYachid, Lushus HaYachid, with a Rishus HaRabim Be'emtza. So that's Moshe. So Moshe clearly applies above 10 Tvachim. But everybody agrees in this Tzad that we don't learn Zrika, we don't learn Zorik from Moshe. So the whole conversation is only below 10 Tvachim, where do you say, the question is, do you say Kluta Kemasha Hun Chadami? That's one side. I know that itself is confusing. Or Odilma, maybe Lamala Measar Pligi, maybe they're arguing about even above 10 Tvachim, and the Machlokas is Baha Pligi. They argue, Demar Savar Yalfinan Zorik Mimoshe. One thing you do derive Zorik from Moshe, that it does apply above 10 Tvachim, and Mar Savar, Lo Yalfinan Zorik Mimoshe. We don't derive Zorik from Moshe. You be Pater above 10 Tvachim. Aval, but in this side, that whole discussion is above 10 Tvachim. Aval Lamata Measar, in this side, below 10 Tvachim, Divriya Kol Chayv, everyone who holds you are Chayv. Why? My taima kluta kemasha huncha dami. Everyone agrees that if something's in the airspace, it's viewed as if it was on the ground. So it's very confusing.
So Moshe lemata me'asara is pater?
No, that's certainly chayv. That's certainly chayv.
No, Moshe lemata me'asara.
Yeah, certainly chayv. Moshe doesn't make a difference above or below. Our question here is only about Zorik.
So why would if they're learning from Moshe, why would they also not include Zorik lemata me'asara?
Because Moshe in the Mishkan took place above 10 Tvachim. That was the model. I would think it would be an extension from Moshe, but not as the source in the Mishkan.
So Zorek would not be on Moshe, would
it? Right. I think so. Maybe not. Oh, we'll leave it. It wasn't addressed, so we'll leave it aside for now. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Hamilsa, Ibaile, the Rav Chista. This was a question that was posed to Rav Chista. Upashta Nehele, and Rav Hamnuna answered it, Meha, from the following. Me Rishus HaYachad, the over b'shut harabim atzma. So if you're passing from yachid to yachid through a rishut harabim, now note what we say, the extra word there, rishut harabim atzma. What does atzma mean? What's the adding? That's one point. Rabbi Kiva mechayiv chachamim potim. So this case, which sounds like our case we're talking about, from a yachid to a yachid with a rishut harabim v'emsa, that's the machlokes. Okay? So the Gemara is now going to use this brisa a little bit differently to explain what the details are. Midgamar b'rishut harabim atzma. What's the word atzma telling me? Pshita lemata mesar. Atzma means the etzem itself, the essence. Atzma means when it's close to the ground. So it must be that this brayis is a conversation about be'atzma within 10 tefachim of the ground. And that's pshita lemata mesar pligi. So they're arguing about below 10 tefachim. Ubemai, and with respect to which particular melacha are they arguing? We said by hotza, there are many ways to hotza. Hotza is from one domain to another domain. It's the moshit, it's through zorik, it's through mavir. So which of these four types of hotzas are we talking about? Ubemai. Ilema b'mavir, we're talking about person carrying it. Mavir means to pass through. One person just carries it. Dal amos, lemata me'asara, hu d'mechayiv. Lemal me'asara, lo mechayiv. Is this to suggest, this really addresses, I think, not really moshit, but is this to imply that mavir is only usher below 10 tefachim, but if a guy's mavir above 10 tefachim, he's pater? Certainly not. V'ha'ama Rabbi Elazar, ha'motzi masur lemal me'asara chayiv. A person who carries something above 10 tefachim is certainly chayiv. Shekein masa b'nei kas was above 10 tefachim. So by mavir, by a person carrying, not motion, not zorik, but mavir, passing something through on his own, that's certainly chayiv 10 tefachim below or above 10 tefachim. So mavir is not what we're talking about. So what type of melacha of hotza are we referring to? Ella, lav, bizorik. Are we not talking about throwing? So now our brisa reads, a guy who's zorik from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim, and rather, Rishis Yachid to Rishis Yachid with a Rishis Rabim in the middle, and we're talking about atzma versus Rabim, which means within 10 tefachim. So we see from here, el lav bizorik ulamata me'asara hu d'mechayev, ulamala me'asara lo mechayev. So we see that when Rabbi Kiva says you're chayev for throwing from Yachid to Yachid with Rabim in the middle, that's only within 10 tefachim. But above that, you're pater. So Shema Mina, we see from here, one second, Bekluta Kimash Huncha Pligi Shema Mina. Must be that the debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan are within 10 tefachim, and they debate whether or not something is flying in the airspace if it's Kimo Shuncha Dami. But if it's above 10 tefachim, that everybody agrees pater. Why do we see this? Because the fact that this brayso they brought says Rishus Rabim Atzma. Atzma means the etzem, the essence of something. Atzma implies something that's the actual item. So within 10 tefachim is the conversation. But above 10 tefachim, that can't be referred to as Rishus Rabim Atzma.
Why is Atzma 10 tefachim? Usually, I would say like love, but you always say it's like that's part of the ground. That's, so then you're saying that's...
No, we have right now the line is 10 tefachim, below 10 tefachim, or above 10 tefachim. So those are the two concepts, the two areas. So certainly, if you had to choose which one is Rishus Rabim Atzma, it would be the below 10 tefachim line. Okay, so then the Gemara says, so that's right now where we stand. The debate is all below 10 tefachim. But above 10 tefachim, everyone agrees, throwing above 10 tefachim would be pater. So the Gemara then says, Pligi de Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar argues on this this understanding. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mechayiv Hayar Rabbi Kiva, Afilu Limala Mesar. Rabbi Kiva felt even above 10 tefachim would be Aser. Ah, Behalta Katani Rishis Ram Atma. How come it says the Atma, which implies below 10 tefachim? Just to show you the strength, how will far Rabbanan are going to say, meaning not only do Rabbanan say you're pater above 10 tefachim, but even below 10 tefachim, Rabbanan are also willing to say that you're pater in this case of Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid with the Rishus Rabim in the middle. Upligi the Rav Chilkia Bartuvia, he also argues, Dama Rav Chilkia Bartuvi, this is maybe more Ezra's point, where up until now we're discussing 10 tefachim. It's either below or 10 or below or above 10 tefachim. Now he adds a whole other wrinkle here. He says, Toch Shlosha, which again is Ezra's point, which is how we paskin, I believe.
Like
Toch Shlosha, right. Toch Shlosha, Divya Kol Chayiv. Everyone agrees, within three tefachim of the ground, that one is Chayiv. That's everyone, according to his understanding. Lemal Me'asar, above 10 tefachim, Divya Kol Pat. Everyone agrees above 10 tefachim is Pat, because that's not Rishus Rabim anymore. And that can be learned from Hoshat. Mishlosha V'Adasar, from 3 to 10, that area. That's where there's a debate. That area between 3 and 9. And the Braisa echoes this point. Tanya Nami Hachi. Besoch Shlosha within 3 Tvachim in the ground. Divya Kol Chayiv. Everyone agrees you're Chayiv. Lemala Me'asara above 10 Tvachim. Eino Ella Mishum Shvus. That's a Shvus Ba'alma. Why is that a Shvus? You just take a look at Rashi. We're right now a little bit less than halfway down the lines in Rashi. Rashi says, Mishim Shvus, Shezarek Mishuso Lirishis Chaver, you throw from one Rishis, your Rishis, to your friend's Rishis, Vela Mishim Hefsek Rishis Rabim, it's not because there's a Hefsek between Rishis Rabim, Dehua Dinamiim Haisa Etzlo Achi Yarvo, meaning even if my house neighbored, you know, next to your house, and there's no Rishis Rabim, for me to throw from my yard to your yard would be a Shvus. If there is no Erev, and it's a Derban if there's no Erev, that's above 10 Tvachim. So again, below 3 Tvachim is Chayv Chadas. Above 10 Tvachim is a Shvus until there's an Erev. And Im Haya Rishuos Shelo, if I own both Rishuyos, they're both mine, then it's not only, it's a Mutter actually, it's not a Shvus, it's Mutter if I own both. Then we'll see why in just a second. We'll ignore that piece until the next line. And then Migimel Vad Asara, from 3 to 10, that's where we have the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva, Mechayev, and Chachamim Potim, which again depends on that concept of do we say that which is kluta kmo shuncha damya or not? That which is in the airspace, do we view that as being resting or not? That is the root of the machlokas. Okay. So now we just said above this cryptic statement, which I kind of ignored because it didn't make sense till now, that Amar Mar, we just said above, just one line above this, im hayu rishuyos shalom mutter. If I own both of the rishuyos, if I'm throwing from my yard to your yard, I'm rather my yard to my own yard, I've got 2 yards, that's mutter l'chadchila. So why is that mutter?
Meaning to throw over then tvachim through the rishus rabbi.
Even with, it doesn't say which one, but l'chor, even with the rishus rabbi there, exactly. Even
it's his rishus rabbi, and it's his.
Exactly.
Goes over and
I own my house on both sides of the Peninsula Boulevard, I throw over to my own house, that's mutter l'chadchila, says the Bryce. So lema, lema, temetiv to the house, right. Let's say this is a kasha, the Rav, this seems arguing, Rav, Ditmar, Shnei Batim, Bishnei Tidei Rishis Rabim. If you have 2 houses on 2 sides of Rishis Rabim, one on each side of Peninsula Boulevard, for example, Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Aser Lizrok Mi Zelazet. It's prohibited from throwing from one side to the other side, even though I own both. We'll see in a second who owns, I guess. Shmuel Amar, Mutter Lizrok Mi Zelazet. You're allowed to. So now, we don't have in this brisa, or this statement at least, it doesn't say who owns the houses. But Rashi points out here, it has to be where one person owns them. Because if it's owned by 2 different people, of course it's Aser. Why would Shmuel say permitted? If it's I own 1 house and your house is on the other side, everybody agrees that's Aser. The only way Shmuel would fathom that's Mutter is if it's a different case where a person owns both them. So while the brisa above said that it was a undisputed that if I own both them, it's mutter, this statement says it's actually machlokas amaroim. So how could Shmuel really say that's, how could Rav say it's usr if I own both houses, if the Braisa says that it's mutter if I own both houses? That's the tiyufta the Gemara is suggesting. So the Gemara says, v'lav mio kimna lahui kigon dimidle chad humatasa chad. Did we not already establish that this case that they're talking about is where one house is lower than the other one? They're not even. It's not a straight roof where you throw like a direct, you know, baseball catch or a football or a frisbee right across the way. It's where one was higher, one was lower. They're uneven. So you're trying to throw down or you're trying to throw up to the other house. So what's the difference in that case? The zimnin nafil v'asile asu. Sometimes it's going to fall and you're going to come to carry it. What that means is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, dimidle chad umetase chad. Dimitokach, because one is higher than the other one. Umitokach, because the houses are not even, the rooftops are not even. So, tzarech la'amid yado migavo l'namach. You have to be more accurate in your throw to get it positioned on the angle down, oh, minamach l'gavo, or the lower area to the higher one, tarid bay. It's a little harder accuracy when they're not the same wavelength. The dilma lo zarek ahagag. Perhaps you're not going to get it directly on the rooftop on the other side. V'nofel l'shis rabim v'asalasui. It's going to fall in the middle into the highway and you might carry it. Because of a gezerah is why they assert. So in other words, if I own both houses on both sides of the peninsula where they're even, everyone agrees that's mutter. Fine. But if it's uneven, where there's a likely case where it's going to fall in the middle, in Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to go down, pick up my ball, and carry it to Rosh Hashanah, that was a concern, and that was a machlokas, whether we're concerned in that case, whether we should implore a gezerah or not, that was machlokas between Rav and Shmuel when they are uneven.
You own both places.
Yeah, exactly.
Distance from the ground relevant, or even
so? No, the difference doesn't seem to be of any real. It's not addressed here. It seems that even right now, the machlokas we saw above was all between 3 and 10. So if it's above 10, so we said that's pater, and the Gemara says if it's above 10, it's mutter if I own both of them. I mean, only in that case. If it's within 3 to 9, though, I believe even if I own both of them, it's still going to be a machlokas.
So
exactly, right.
And if it below 3, it's a kemunah.
Yeah, below 3, it's a chayv. 3 to 9 is machlokas. Above 10, it's pater val aser, unless I own both of them, then in that case, it will be mutter above 10 tvachim. The Gemara then says, Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Hamnuna. Vamri la other say, Rav Hamnuna says, Rav Chista. Minaha milso, how do I know this concept? Dama rabbanan, ko pachos mishlosha kilavadami, that anything within 3 tvachim is kilavad. It applies to walls, applies to schach, applies to all areas of dimensions. So how do you know where is it based on? Amar le, lefi she'iyev sha'alal rishus harabim, she'tilakit bimlakit uviritani. It's impossible that rishus harabim could be completely smooth. These are different instruments used for like smoothing out wood and things. You can't smooth out the dirt and a path to make it even. So there's always going to be bumps and hills and cracks. And therefore, 3 tefachim was considered like the margin of error, if you will, of rishus harabim, where we allow it to be all considered one playing field. So that's why, because it's just a svara. Ihachi, that's the case. Shloshanami, why dafka less than 3? Even 3 tefachim, you could go to regular shirabim, there'll be bumps in the road. 3 tefachim is also very acceptable for there to be that size of a bump in Rosh Hashanah. So why do we draw the line at dafka below 3 tefachim? Vesu, moreover, how the time the Mishnah tells us in Masech HaSukkah, HaMashal Shel Defanos Milamala Lamata. If a person's putting down lowering walls for a sukkah, so Im Hein Gavon Min Haaretz Shlosha Tefachim, it's referring to actually maybe Erevin even. It's both sukkah and erevin, but if you lower the walls, if the walls are above 3 tefachim, there's a space of 3 tefachim or more from the floor to the wall. That big of a space, it's psula. That sukkah is possible. That erev would be possible. Ha pachos mishlosha kshera. If it's less than 3 tefachim, if it's within 3 tefachim of the floor, it would be kosher. So what's the reason there? Hasam by wall, hainu time. The reason why 3 tefachim is the measurement, mishum da'avile mechita shegadim bokim bo, because it's a wall that can be penetrated by goats. Meaning, if a goat could pass through a wall, it means it's not an effective wall. So what's the definition? A goat doesn't pass under 3 tefachim. It won't go that low. So if therefore it protects itself from goats coming in and leaving. So if it's above 3 tefachim, a goat could pass through. Now the Gemara says, so we clearly see. Now, the definition has nothing to do with evening out a Rosh Hashanah. It's a completely different type of reasoning when applying 3 tefachim lavad to a wall than we applied it earlier to that of a Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, okay, tinach lamata, this 3 tefachim measurement makes sense for a wall when referring to the bottom of the wall. 3 tefachim below, that a goat doesn't slip underneath it. But lamala, ma'ik lamemra, when it comes to the top as well, we have to have 3 tefachim as well. It refers to, it's sometimes lavad on the top of something where goats don't, presence of a goat is irrelevant. We're talking about the top of a wall, it doesn't jump over that area. So clearly 3 tefachim is not based on the flattening of Rosh Hashanah, nor is it solely based on goats being able to slip underneath the wall. So what's the base of 3 tefachim? We have different areas where different svaras make sense. So the Gemara concludes, you're right, Ella, Ko pachas mishlosha kilavadami hilchasa gemile. We have a tradition, we have a halacha Moshe Sinai, that the concept of anything within 3 tefachim is considered as if it's closed lavad. Lavad is halacha Moshe Sinai, it's not based on any svara. Now there are some times where we apply different svaras, such as the gedim bokimbo, but the real prevailing reason behind it is there's no reason. It's simply a mesora dating back to halacha Moshe Sinai. Let's keep going because we are really running out of time here. The Gemara now says, last few lines of Tzadi Zayin, Tanur Rabbanim. We're doing the opposite case now. You're throwing from one rabbim to another rabbim and a yachid in the middle. So in this case, Rebbe is mechayiv and chachamim potrim. So Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Tevaya, both of them hold lo chay Rebbe ela b'rishus yachid mikora. We saw this earlier in the first parak of the Masechta, that it's only true when it passes through a rishus yachid is one chay. By the way, it's zorik. You're throwing through. So you're throwing your ball from rabbim to another rabbim with a yachid in the middle. So Rebbe, when he says chayiv, it's with a very important caveat that the Rosh Hashanah yachid must be covered, must be some type of rooftop on it. The Amrinan beso kiman demal yadami. We view, since the house is covered, it's enclosed, it's as if it's full, and therefore when the ball passes through, it's as if it's settled, even though it didn't, but luckily we view it as kehunach dami, but only if there's a ceiling on it. That's the qualification. Aval she'ena makor, if it's not covered, lo. Rebbe would not say it's din, and you pass through a yachid, if it's not covered, it would not be chayv. So that's the din. So Amar Rav Chana, right. So Amar Rav Chana says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, mechayv hayu Rebbe, shtayim. Now in this case, when it is covered, when there's a Rosh Hashanah yachid that has a ceiling, that's makorah, you should be chayv 2. Achas mishim hotza, ve'achas mishim achnasa. One time because it leaves Rabin to Yachid, and then it goes from Yachid to Rabin. So the one is a Hachnasa entering into Yachid, and the other one is the Yachid leaving Hotzah into Rishis Rabin, even though there's one Maisa, but halachically two events are taking place here, and therefore you should be chayv two different Malachos. So one for Hotzah, one for Hachnasa. You're chayv two. The Gemara says, wait a second. Yasir Rav Chana v'kakashli, he sat down and said, I have a question. Lemaimra, is this to suggest that going on to Amin Beis now? Lemaimra, the Mechai Rebbe told the B'makum Av? So we know that Hotzah is the Av and Hachnas is the Tolda. So now you chayv two Chatos, but don't we say that a Tolda B'makum Av is only chayv one? So is this to say Rebbe thinks that you are chayv a Tolda, separate from that same Av? V'atane, but doesn't this Brisa say that Rebbe himself says that Rebbe Omer, Dvarm hadvarim eila dvarim. It says in the pasuk eila dvarim. So make a drasha that eila lamentes malachos. The drasha was, we saw this earlier, maybe 20 blotter ago, that eila is gematria 36. Dvarim implies two. Hadvarim, this does, implies one more. 36 plus 2 plus 1 is 39. The drasha of eila dvarim is 39 malachos. Shenemru b'lemoshe misinai. So what was the relevance of this? And the Gemara ended up saying, to tell me 39 malachos. If you do all 39 helm echad, you're chayiv 39 malachos. But if Rebbe really holds that you're chayv even the toldos, you can be chayv hundreds of malachos for every tolda as well. But Rebbe doesn't say that. He says you're only 39 is the cap. So therefore, Rebbe holds your pater tolda b'makom av. So what does it mean? You're chayv two, one for achnasa, one for otsa. So Amarle Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Mar, you, Mr. Rebbe, Mar, aha, masila, you taught that way, v'kashala, you have a kasha, because the Rebbe are Rebbe. Because since you thought Rebbe was the author of both these brises, you had a kasha. But for me, Anan, we, where I come from, Ad Rebbe Yehuda Masis, and we have Rebbe Yehuda as being the author, in which case there's no stira. One is Rebbe, one is Rebbe Yehuda, one holds that you are Chayv told the Malkum Av, the other one thinks you're not Chayv told the Malkum Av. So it's not a contradiction for me, they're just two different people. Anan Ad Rebbe Yehuda Masis, below Kashalan, there is no question. The Tani, the Brisa says that, May Rishis Yachid, the Rishis Yachid, rather, Rishis Yachid, the Rishis Rabim, the Avar Arba Amos, Rishis Rabim. Now, a person, next 15 lines are going to be very tricky. It's going to get trickier. So we have the following: that if you have a guy throwing from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim, and then it goes into Rishis Rabim for Amos before it actually lands, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda is Mechayev. And Chachamim say potim, your potim. So the Gemara says, did you look at Rashi just for a second? We're talking about two malachos here. Mishus HaYachid, Rashi says around 10 narrow lines down, Mishus HaYachid, L'Rishus HaRabim, V'Avar Dal Amos B'Rishus HaRabim, Kodim Shatanach. So you threw it, you went from Yachid HaRabim, and then it went another four Amos in Rishus HaRabim, Dika Tarti. There are two violations. One is Hotzah, changing Rishios, and number two is a zrika that went arba amos. So two violations. When you throw from one domain to another domain, and it goes down amos, you're chayv for changing rishios, plus throwing a distance of four amos. So those are two violations. So the Gemara says, again, that Rabbi Yehuda says mechayv, chachamim say potim. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, mechayv haya Rabbi Yehuda, shtayim, as we just said, two. Achas mishum hotzah, v'achas mishum havara. Now even though havara and hotzah are both told us, hotzah is the av. Havara is a tolda of that. Because again, Hotzah means from Rishus to another Rishus. I'm just stepping over the line. That's it. Havara means going down Amos and Rishus Rabim. That's a tolda. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda says, you are chayv a tolda b'makom av.
What is it? Rolling?
No, you just throw it. It goes a distance. Stuff. It's in the air for Dal Amos.
It's going,
doesn't make a difference about that piece right now. If you thought chadahu, if you only chayv one, let's see Rabbi Huda says you're chayv in this case only one, that would imply that chacham say you're pater lagamre. So Rabbi Huda, mechlal the rabbanim pater lagamre. Would rabbanim say in this case when you're throwing from yachid to rabim you'd be pater lagamre? How apiklei mirshus yachid lirshus rabim? You certainly violate hotzah. No one could ever fathom not being chayv anything. You must be chayv at least hotzah. So when Rabbanan say potin, they mean you're potter from the second malacha. And when Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayv, in the second malacha. So Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayv both hotzah and also chayv ha'avara, two malachos, even the told of Malkum Av. So that's where I hold, says Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda holds in such a concept. So I have no problem. Rebbe argues, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayv told of Malkum Av. And the Gemara now says, no, how do you know? Dilma li'olam e'melcha Rabbi Yehuda chadahu d'mechayv. Maybe really Rabbi Yehuda's only chayv one, which is a hotza, and the told of havar is subsumed under the hotza. And Rabbanan pati the gamri. And your button actually say you're pater legamri. You're not even chayv hotza. Why not? Hechem mishkachas. So how could you find the case where you're pater legamri in this case? Could go and amar ad denafkilei the shitarabim tanuach. That maybe Rabbanan had, the guy rather, had in mind that Yamachayv until it falls into Rosh Hashanah. Ubeha kamifli, they're arguing about the following. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar Amrinan Kluta Kamash Runcha, that you have, he holds that when something's in the airspace, it's viewed as if it's on the ground. And also, Visabida Le Machshavaso, and he fulfilled his will, his Machshava. And we'll fit this in just a second. Rabbanan Savar, they hold Lo Amrinan Kluta. We don't say in the airspace as like it's rested, and also v'lo isabed le machshavaso. And we, the guy also did not fulfill his machshava. So what does this all mean? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says isabed le machshavaso, shenacha biyitzia miad, that he wanted to fall right away. He wanted to throw it like just a drop into Rosh Hashanah, but ended up going further than that, well beyond that. It went.
He wanted hotzah, but he didn't want
avara. But he wanted hotzah to drop in that first tile, but it landed on the tile 10 feet away. So he didn't fulfill his machshava. So Rashid Hilcha Chay Mishim Hotza, Ava Mishim Havar Lo Mechayv, V'yaf Agav, and according to Behuda, you're Chayv Hotza because it landed on the other side from Yachad to Rabim. You're not Chayv Havara because you didn't have in mind to do Havara. You didn't want to go another Dal Amos. V'yaf Agav, Rashi says, the Chashulei Kamosh Huncha V'nekra Huncha. Even though it passed over that area, since it was in the airspace of that first tile you wanted to drop in, Rabbi Huda says, oh, it's kimo shunchadami. It's as if it did drop in that area. Mishim dahavya tolda de mavmakum av. But Rabbanan hold that no. Number one is, it passed over that tile, so it means lo kunchadami. He holds kluta is lo kunchadami, number one. Number two is, it landed 10 feet away. I didn't want that to happen, so it didn't fulfill my machshava. So therefore, Chachamim say, you're pater legamri in that case. Hotza was not violated because it did not fulfill my machshava. Rabbi Huda says it did. I'll say it one more time. I wanted to throw it in Rosh Hashanah to the first tile. It landed 10 feet away. So Rabbi Huda says, firstly, it passed over the tile. When it's kuta, it's kmusha hunchadami. It's as if it rested, and therefore my machshava was fulfilled. It did land in the tile, at least halachically. Rabbanan say, no, we don't view that which is hukla is low. And therefore, it never landed there, and my machshava was never fulfilled. And that's how you could have a guy doing hotza, but not really being chayv for hotza. And for that reason, back inside the Gemara, and based on this now new explanation, the Gemara says, "Aval atod b'mok ma'av lo mechayv Rabbi Yehuda." So it's not a case of two melachos anymore. It's just one melacha of hotza. Havar was never on the radar here at all, and it's not a question of atod b'mok ma'av. I told you, it's very confusing.
I just hard to understand.
Yep. Yeah, it's already ready. Let's keep going. We only have 7 minutes now. So Gemara says, now, lo sagadait. No one ever think this. The Tanya, no one ever thought that we're not talking about a case here of, no one ever think that Rabbi Huda is not mechayv told the Mokav. He does think you're a chayv told the Mokav. How do we know? Because the Tanya, the Baraita says that Rabbi Huda, most of afa shovit v'amadaktik. He adds even other malachos, other avos, malachos, to the list of 39. And these are different things related to weaving. I'll just give you the English translations. Is lining up. You have to kind of line up the weaving threads, the warp threads, and the medactic is you beat the weft threads, whatever that means. Ricky will explain afterwards. We don't have time for this right now. But he adds these two malachos onto the list of avos malachos of a shovet and medactic. So Amri Lol Chacham say back to him, shovet, harehu b'chal mesach. That's included under the av already, the av of mesach. And medactic is already included, harehu b'chal orig. That's kind of weaving. So what's Rabbi Huda coming to add on? Those are already included under the categories we have that exist. My love, is it not davdinu the tervayu b'hadi hadad? Is it not where you did shovet and mesach together? You did medaktik and orig together, and yet shmamina mechayv haya Rabbi Huda atolda b'makom av. Meaning, right now the Brisa says that shovet is really a tolda of mesach. Even Rabbi Huda agrees, and medaktik is really a tolda of orig. Rabbi Huda agrees to that as well. But he says you're chayv each one separately. Why are you chayv? Because Rabbi Huda holds that you are chayv a tolda b'makom av. So how could anyone ever have thought that Rabbi Huda thinks you're pater b'tolda b'makom av? He thinks you're chayv tolda b'makom av, like we just proved from this brisa. The Gemara says, no, not true. Mimai, how do you know? Duma li'avda l'halachudei v'halachudei. Maybe, really, li'olam, Rabbi Huda says, we're not talking about where you did shovet when the same time you did Mesach. You did Shovet separately, one Shabbos. And a guy did Mesach and different Shabbos. Completely independent of the Av. And Rabbi Huda, a Toda b'mokum Av lo mechayv. He agrees. If you do a Toda, the mokum Av, you are pater from the Toda. That he agrees to. So what's Machlokas about whether Shovet and Medaktik, he's most of them or not? Ubahapli, they're arguing about Rabbi Yehuda Savar Hani Avos Ninu, that Taka Shovet is a Av, and Medaklik is an Av. Not arguing about Tolus B'Makom Av, whether these are Avos or not. Rabban Savri, Hani Tolus Ninu. No, Shovet and Medaklik are Tolus of Mesach and Oreg respectively. But Rabbi Yehuda thinks that they're Avos. Teda, I'll bring your proof. The Katani Rabbi Yehuda Mosef. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda says the word Mosef implies he's adding one to the Avos. He's adding, there's a 40th and a 41st Av. So Iyam is Bishma, if you say Avos, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Medaklik and Shovet are in fact Avos. So this makes sense. Because Iyam is Bishma Avos, my Mosef, what's Mosef? Mosef Avos. That Rabbi Yehuda adds one more Avos. He says there's a 40th and a 41st one. Eliyam was told us, if you think Rabbi Yehuda is simply saying that Shovet and Medaklik are simply told us, my Mosef, what's he adding on to? There are many told us to speak of. Itmar Nami was also stated that Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Tavaya, both of them hold Lo Chai Rabbi Yehuda El Achas, meaning in a case of Tolda B'Mokum Av, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're Chayv one Tolda B'Mokum Av. So again, a confusing daf here to figure out whether Rabbi Yehuda holds Tolda B'Mokum Av is Chayv or not Chayv. Let's read a little bit further now. We have 4 minutes till we start davening upstairs. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi Ulamai Desalak Gadaita, that which we thought initially, Meikara, the initial thought, the Mechayiv Haya Rabbi Yehuda Shaim, that he really thought you are Chayiv, too. A Tolda B'Makom Av is Chayiv. Ilahacha Kabaylei, Ilahachi L'Kabaylei. Ilahachi Kabaylei, Ilahachi L'Kabaylei. The case we were talking about was, the guy standing in Rosh Hashanah, he throws into Rosh Hashanah, he violates both Hotzah and also Havara, because it crossed over Rosh Hashanah, and also it went down almost in Rosh Hashanah. So the initial Havamina was two. Of course, how could he be Chayiv two? Either he wanted to go to the first place, which is only Hotzah, or he wanted to go to the further place, which is Havara. But he didn't want both cases to happen here. It was one or the other. If you look at Rashi, just to make that a little bit clear, Rashi says, "Lemaida salikadaitach v'chulu nihi nami demechayva tolda b'makomav." Let's say we grant you that Rabbi Yehuda's chayva tolda b'makomav. You'll be chayv too. In this case, however, hacha lav tarti ikah. Here, there are not two blachas he could be chayv because the ilahacha l'sov dal b'ayle tanach. If he wanted to go dal amos in the Rishis Rabbim, hacha lomachav. He wasn't interested in dropping the first tile right after Rishis Rabbim. So it would only be Havara, it wouldn't be Otsah. And he goes vice versa. You have to read through Rashi back and forth. It's either this place or that place. It wasn't both places he wanted to drop. And therefore, you should only be chayv one, not two in this particular case. And the verse is not true. Amar lei, b'omer kol makom shetir tzatanach. He says, I want this to go wherever it drops. So I'm okay if it drops right after it crosses the border. I'm okay if it drops 4 amos later on. And therefore, since both of them were in this very generic thought process, it would be subject to two melachos had it not been for the fact that he holds in the end of the day that you're not chayiv a tolda b'makom av. Let's finish off the last few lines now. Sorry to go so fast. Pshita niskaven lizrok shmona v'zark arba. Certain is clear. If a guy has intention to throw 8 amos, and he ends up only throwing 4 amos, he's chayv. Why? It's compared to a rei kos of shame, mishimon. If a guy who wants to write Shimon's name, but only writes shinamem, shame, he's chayv, because he's on his way to do the full melacha. He did a partial melacha, but he's still on the way to get where he wants to go to. But if it's the opposite, niskaven lizrok arba, he wants to only throw 4 amos, but he overshoots and throws zarek shimona, throws 8 amos, mahu, what's the din there? Mi amrina, do we say ha apikle? He did hotza. He threw it for azrika, he did 4 amos. But he didn't want to go where it went. Meaning, if I want to drive somewhere, it's okay to get short of something. I still got a few more to go. But to overshoot something, that really undermines the location I want to go to. If I want to travel to Florida, let's say, so stopping off in D.C. makes sense. But if I want to travel to Florida, I go down to Chile, that doesn't make sense. That's completely backwards. So therefore, if I overshoot something, I would go through too far. That did not fulfill what I wanted to accomplish. And the Gemara says, V'lav hayinu da'amar le ravina le ravashi. Did we not say above that Amr Lay, the conversation above where the guy said, Omer, komakum shetir tatanuch, that wherever it goes, I'm fine with that, okay? I'm fine wherever it rests, that's good for me. Then we say that above. Does that not imply that if I was specific where I wanted to go, I would be putter? Meaning, if I overshot, I should be completely putter. What's the shayla? Of course, it's if you went to the wrong place, you're putter. The only reason why above you're chayv for the two hotzon havara is because I was okay wherever it dropped. But if I was particular where it was going to drop, I'd be putter for being in the wrong place. And the Gemara says, but didn't we say the case of the commerce Harei Kasav Shem Mishimon? Didn't we say you're chayiv in that case? I mean, right now that we're saying that if only if I'm okay, komakum shetir tanuch, then I'm chayiv, but if I was particular, I'd be potter. Whether or not it's a case of 8 to 4 or even 4 to 8, both cases I should be potter because it's not dropping where I want it to drop. But how can we say by Shimon that if I write part of it, I'm chayiv? So shouldn't it say if I want to go 8 amos and throw only four amos shouldn't be chayv as well. Where it says, no, the case of Shem Yishimon is different. Mi dami. Hasam kamadi lo kasiv Shem lo michtav le Yishimon. There, it's a machokas how to read this, but in order to write Shimon, you have to write Shem. That has to be done. You have to get there. So I need to write Shinemem. But to throw eight amos, I don't have to throw four amos. I don't throw four amos and throw another eight amos. I throw a total of eight amos. But throwing four amos is not what I need to do to get to eight amos. And therefore, they're very different cases. Again, me, dami, hasan there, kemad lo kasav shem, if I don't write shem, lo michtav le shimon, I can't get the shimon. Shin mem is a necessary requirement to get the shimon. Hacha, here, kamad lo zarek arba, lo mizarek le tamne, if I don't throw four first, I won't throw eight. No, I don't need to throw four first. I want to throw a full straight eight without having to go first to four amos, then another four amos, and therefore, since the cases are very different, you would be pater if it did not fulfill your initial machshava. We'll stop here, mitzvah shem, we will continue tomorrow.